Hello and welcome to the Prowess Climbing Coaching Training Podcast. Despite bouldering for 20 years, up to about 70 plus, I've never actually gone through a regimented training program before. That is, until now. Restricted by lockdown but driven by a desire to get straight back on my projects at the first opportunity, this time is right to finally get the fingerboard chalky, stretch out the TheraBands and to train at home. As a professional climbing coach, this seemed a great opportunity to look at this as a case study, a first-hand experience of completing a training program as a climber. And so I've decided to record a weekly podcast to keep you updated on how it's all going. The inspiration for the program has come from my friend Sally Lyle from Far Out Pursuits, who is also working on a very different training program of her own. She'll be joining me every week so we can chart progress, see if our exercises are working, that the sets and the reps are right, and crucially, to see whether we are sticking to our respective plans. More information will be available through my website, prowesscoaching.co.uk, where you'll be able to see the program I'm going through and even download templates to design your own, as well as accessing other resources to help you as a climber. So sit back, relax, and let us do the hard work and enjoy the next episode.
Hi, Pete.
Hello, how are you?
I have been better. I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm still wandering about doing stuff.
Oh, you show off. You show off.
I know, flaunting my working knees.
Two working knees. That's just excessive. Yeah. So, as we were talking about, I guess this week maybe a shorter episode like last week. Yeah. Maybe 20 minutes or so, because it's so flipping incredibly full on what I happen to have gone through this week. I'll just talk about the ins and outs of that. Briefly go through how you're getting on first and anything you're going to change or calibrate for next week. And then talk about major surgery and how that might just affect my climbing training slightly. Let's start with you then. How has week two gone?
Week two was better than week one, I think, just because it's starting to settle. So my Monday session, my power strength session, actually Rosie joined me, my eldest, and she had a whale of a time. She loved playing around on the rings. And that actually made it significantly better, having another person around. And maybe we'll come back to social aspects of training and stuff at a later date. Didn't matter that she was a three-year-old running around. She had a great time, and I performed better because of that. And similarly on Tuesday, actually Monday really took it out of me and was quite hard, and my muscles have felt very tender in my chest. So I actually went for a run with my partner M in the middle of the day. So that was a softer run for me. I'd normally run a bit harder, but I think that actually worked really well. I was still tender on the rest day on Wednesday. My chest was still a tiny bit tender on the Thursday as well. So, you know, remember last week we said about would I swap the climbing and the hip day round? I don't think I would, because it's working really well. I'm still researching this, so we'll come back to this. But the one thing I did find is that I need to do more HIIT exercises. I'm only doing six at the moment. I got it done in 10 minutes. And it was like I was totally, totally out of breath by the end of it. And it was much better than the first week after the research I'd done. But I still need to do more. I need to carry on going. And then finally, the climbing session on Friday was better than the week before. I've always struggled using this board. I never quite know what to do with myself. And I got halfway through the session and was a bit like, I was more interested in drying out my shorts after I got soaked on the rider there than I was in actually climbing. Which was,
oh no.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I always feel a bit lost. Like I don't really know what to do with myself whenever I go there.
Why?
I don't know. Probably because it's a systems board. It's, you know, there's no proper routes. It's not route set. It's not a commercial wall. It's a private facility. So I always kind of walk in and go sort of like, yeah, great. I'm going to do, I don't know what. And then just end up getting lost in not doing a great deal. But then about halfway through, I started creating my own new problem and found myself getting really sucked into it. Got to the point where I ran out of time and had to leave it. And hopefully next week, I've put a little note on saying, start with, I think I called it soggy bottom commute or something. You have to name your climbs.
So, nice.
But I was literally dripping on the way when I got there.
But you've got a problem set. Looking at it now and knowing the moves that you set for yourself, how many sessions do you think it will take you to get the route done?
I'd probably expect to get it done within the first few goes. Do a bit of a warm-up next Friday.
Two sessions.
I don't think it's even that. I think it was probably one session to work out where the route went and then another session to actually climb it.
When I used to do boulders, I would generally do a problem within one session, and then everyone just went, well, you're clearly not trying hard enough then, if you can do it in one session. So I was just wondering if you were training something specific.
This is coming back to that replication training where I'm trying to copy the moves of the projects. So I always struggle to set myself projects, whether it's been indoors, where I've been route setting, or whether it's been at a board where I can route set from the halter on the wall. I always struggle to set it just that right level of difficulty. So I think once I've done this, I might just tweak and adjust the holds. So I'll take the good hold and go for the one next to it, which is slightly worse.
Oh, okay.
And then
cool.
Try and adjust it that way.
And then that will probably get rid of your difficulty turning up to the board and looking at it and going, I have no idea what I'm doing, because you're replicating the same thing. That sounds really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be quite good. Just keep swapping the holds out for other holds.
And if you're only doing it once a week, you're not really running the risk of injuring yourself by doing the same move again and again and again.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet. Sounds perfect.
So on to the more important topic at hand, because this has been a bit of a momentous week for you. How was the build-up to surgery on Wednesday?
Momentous week. That's a great way of phrasing it. My first major surgery, my only surgery of any variety, to be honest, on Wednesday. I thought it would be a good idea to taper my training so that I could leave the most reserves for surgery on Wednesday. So I stopped training 2 days before. And the last training I did was a strength fingerboard session, and then all I did was physio exercises to switch on muscles.
It's interesting you referring to it as tapering, because I don't hear the term tapering bandied around with climbers at all. When I swam competitively, it came up all the time, but you don't hear of climbers talking about it. Just grabbed off the shelf, Training for Climbing, you know, the Eric Horst book, and the word tapering doesn't appear. So just for the benefit of anybody that doesn't know what tapering is, do you want to explain quite what tapering does and how you've used it in this context?
Tapering is letting your body recover and have as much physical reserves as possible.
Yeah, resting before performance, but specifically tailored for a performance. So
yeah, exactly.
So what about the mental build-up into the surgery? How did that affect you psychologically?
I was hugely anxious. It affected how I slept, what I wanted to eat. All I wanted to do was to go for a run, because I know that fixes my mental state, and I couldn't.
And then there was the surgery on the Wednesday, which you said went very well.
They basically said you can bear weight as pain allows, go wild. You can't, you're not going to break the ACL that we've put in there, and you're not going to damage the meniscus. Then I spent the rest of Wednesday trying very hard not to throw up. I worked out in a 36-hour period. I slept for 26 hours of it. So a lot of sleeping, a lot of trying not to be sick. And then the day after, on Thursday, I sort of...
Yeah, that was the night that we were texting quite a lot, wasn't it? And we were chatting quite a lot.
Thursday night, yeah, I text you about 36 hours later. That was a rollercoaster of a day, really. I started off feeling superhuman. And with this information that they had convinced me with, going, you can't damage it, you want to get mobile as quickly as possible, I've gone, right, great, I'll go for a walk. As pain allows, well, that's pretty open to interpretation. So I decided I'd go for a walk in the slate quarries. That'd be about an hour. I got 100 yards up the road and went, I better turn around now. By the time I text you, I was in a huge amount of pain. And I thought that clearly I'd been given the wrong information and I had damaged it. So worried and in a huge amount of pain. And I had this smorgasbord of painkillers, none of which I could take because I'd taken the maximum amount of them. And I just was convinced that I stuffed it. I text you saying, it hurts so much. I don't know what to do. I had about 3 hours of just tears streaming down my face, being so anxious about it. It was very, very helpful, the conversation we had.
I knew that you're an expert in mental control, so it was really just a case of pointing that out to you and going, you got this. You know how to deal with, you know how to control your emotions and how to control your thoughts. You're fantastic at this, so you just needed to point that out to you.
It calmed me down, really, of going, yeah, you've got the ability to control your emotions. That's why I enjoy trad climbing so much, the ability to look at the emotions that are happening, enjoy them. Or certainly work through them. It was just so nice to have you not say, "Well, don't worry," because that wasn't going to be useful. But to have that, you know, you're really good at this, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I am good at this. I am good at this." And then have you thought about meditation? So I have a 20-minute meditation that I usually do when I need that sort of thing. I'm like, oh yeah. And then you're like, there's some breathing exercises as well. So it all tied in perfectly. I think the pain was actually exacerbated because I was thinking about it. It was nice to trust myself as well to actually get in touch with people after the surgery and to be really honest about how crap it was. Yeah, I would recommend that to people. Just make sure you point out that you're not as strong as you look.
So I'm guessing that you're taking a bit of time off from the training then?
Yeah, I think there's a few other things. That was literally the first day after surgery and that was pretty full on. I think it was nice to be ready for it to be really hard. Since Thursday, it's been quite interesting to see what's been difficult, what I've struggled with and what's been different from what I was expecting. So I am taking some time off from training, but I actually feel fantastic now. I need some output, and now that I've stopped needing to sleep as much, I think I'll be able to adapt the training and give myself some mental outgoings. Oh, I just flipping love climbing, so it would just be really nice to pull on a fingerboard. I think I will have a go at exploring what the exercises feel like this afternoon. Not doing a session, just seeing what the limitations are going to be. And then if it goes as I'm expecting it to go, then I'll have my first session back tomorrow. Basically, I'll just start again from day one of my set of my program. So it's sort of like I had a week and a half of testing out how it went.
So what's been post-surgery now? What's been different to what you were expecting and what's been around about the same as you were expecting?
So a few things have been different. I didn't really anticipate how limited my mobility was going to be. So it's gone up like my knees are like a balloon. My physio for this week is try to straighten your leg and try to bend your leg. And you're like, ah, got it. Very nice. It's gotten better a lot very quickly. I don't know if it's me learning some techniques or if it's actually my mobility's improved. But I can... It took 3 days and now I have totally nailed putting socks on again. No problem. So I wasn't anticipating how hard putting socks on was going to be.
So it sounds like you're on the mend. It sounds like you're on your way back. And it sounds like you've adapted the training program from the start to accommodate for this, really.
Well, it was very... I think it's convenient timing as well. Because I'm still on what you could call phase one, which is just basic conditioning. I've got the amazing benefit of having been able to calibrate my sessions beforehand. So it is probably going to be even more effective. I haven't worked out how I'm going to warm up yet.
Well, that's interesting.
Normally, for me, it was my physio demanded... ideally some static bike work, so we worked that into each of my sessions. Realistically, from today, from now, it's going to probably be about 3 weeks before my knee will do that again, and I can't just do burpees like I would normally, can't go for a run, and I can't do any yoga. Press ups, pull-ups.
So the first thing that my head is screaming is TheraBands. Go with resistance band training, because you can do that sitting down. And then I'm thinking, okay, so what sports are there that you can involve sitting down, which obviously lends itself to paddling and paddle sports. And if you combine the two together, you could end up doing quite a good workout with a resistance band tucked behind something in front of you and some paddle sports, some, you know, kayaking movement with the resistance band.
Just low road, but with resistance bands rather than set TRXs and lifting your body. Oh, poor leg.
So it sounds like it's been a very full-on week. So next week, we're going to have a look at how you've got on with your first week of training post-op. Does that sound about right?
Sounds good to me.
And then from my point of view, I'm still researching HIIT routines. I'm looking at whether the benefits of HIIT routines and some of the pros and cons. Hopefully next week I should be able to fill you in on a slightly more scientific answer to, should climbers be incorporating a HIIT routine into their climbing training? I hope your recovery is going very well over the course of the next week. Doubtless I will speak to you between now and then.
I'll tell you how this afternoon goes. If you've got any more bright ideas about warm-up, that would be good. But I think I think the TheraBand is a good plan, good place to start.
So I shall leave you to your afternoon, Sal. And I shall speak to you next week.
Yeah, I'll speak to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
No worries. Bye now. This podcast was produced by Prowess Climbing Coaching and Far Out Pursuits and featured Pete Edwards and Sally Lyle. Edit was by Pete Edwards. For more information on the topics discussed or for help in designing your own training program, please visit prowesscoaching.co.uk and remember to tune in for the next episode.